NorthJerseySports.com's original multimedia series talking all things North Jersey basketball. I am Corey Doviak. This is Season 1, Episode 2, and the guest list is full tonight, not only with interviews that we will do with local coaches, and we will do them, as Bergen Catholic head coach Billy Armstrong and West Milford boys basketball coach John Fink are set to join us later on in the show. But we got a full panel here. Co-host is Bergen Field Athletic Director Tom Curry. And Coach, what's going on?
Well, Corey, nothing much. I saw Teaneck. We played Teaneck last night at Bergen Field, and I got to tell you, their freshman point guard is just something else. That young man can play basketball. He is terrific.
Yeah, you know, Bergen County finally rids itself of Shakir Lindsay, at least the competition for, you know, he was there for 3 years at Teaneck, led him to 3 county championships, and he finally graduates. People think the door is open a crack, and then in steps the freshman from Teaneck and Washington, his last name is, and they seem to not skip the beat. Crazy.
And Leandre Washington, he scored 28 last night.
Yes, the voice you just heard is NorthJerseySports.com student intern and 2013 graduate of Pascack Hills High School, a kid that we used to cover but now happy to welcome as part of our panel. He is Andy Kovner of, well, Rutgers University now, and a kid who has never seen The Godfather nor Goodfellas. Andy, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, first, I just want to thank you for letting me come on the show tonight, Corey. It's been a blast so far, and I've been really impressed with all the action I've seen around the county so far, and I'm just looking forward again to seeing more teams.
Yeah, well, you've been doing a great job as you're on winter break here. Third member of our panel is NorthJerseySports.com basketball insider Richie Ballgame Barton. What's going on, Richie B?
Not much. Just hanging out again, talking hoops. That's what it's all about.
What a great name for the show. I mean, we're just talking hoops. That's it.
You're really patting yourself on the back there, pal, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, here's a sneak peek. I think John Fink gives me a backhanded compliment later on in the show. So I just want to, you know, I want to get my credentials out there before I take a ripping. So interesting stuff. You know, it's finally the part of the season. You know, we did the show last week, and we've been doing basketball shows under different names for many years here on NorthJerseySports.com. And this is the, you know, it's a little disjointed the beginning of the season. You get those two early games, then you get Christmas tournaments all over the place, hard to follow. Now we finally have about a week of action behind us now, and I've been able to get out, see some teams, and really get a feel of what's happening across North Jersey basketball. And we'll start with what Coach Curry mentioned earlier is Teaneck. I covered Teaneck last Saturday against Pascack Valley, and Pascack Valley is a very good team. It's one of those teams that, you know, is closing the gap toward the top of the county. A lot of good seniors on that team. They're in a 6-point game with Teaneck, and Teaneck finds a, you know, winning in the fourth quarter. Teaneck finds a way to come back and win. And Tom, it's really unprecedented what Teaneck is doing here. They're a 3-time defending Bergen County champion. They have lost so much talent, not only after last year, but after the last 2 years. And to just keep it rolling like this is almost unprecedented for a public school in Bergen County.
Well, you know, Jerome Smart does a real good job. You know, I'm very impressed with his, not that he has to impress me, but he does a great job with the kids. They all buy in. They pass the ball together as well as any team I've ever seen. Their interior passing is very good. They get you to commit and then they find each other. And that's very hard to defend, you know, late in the game or even early in the game. If you can pass the ball in the interior and create things for your big guys, you're going to be a good team. You're going to be hard to deal with, and you add speed and quickness, and, boy, that's a tough combination.
You know, it's funny, too. I saw them last Saturday, and a couple guys that I talked to on the circuit here, they're like, how's Teaneck looking? I gave them, you know, a couple of names, Miles McLeod, the center. The kid, he's very quiet, does all his work on the offensive glass. You know, he doesn't need to have plays run through him to score. He scores off the glass, and I'm saying, you know, like McLeod is the guy you got to look out for. Then, Tom, you see him. And Washington is the guy who goes off for him. And there's other guys who have stepped in. You know, Cesar DeJesus, when I saw him, he had 4 points. Then they go out and beat Passaic Valley, and he had 20 points. So they really do buy in. And I taped the interview that I did last Saturday with Jerome Smart, and I asked him that question about just trying to protect what they have now as people think they are trying to close the gap. So let's take a listen to what Jerome Smart had to say.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different team, different makeup, and – you know, we're going to be challenged all year because, you know, we always had people who, I'm not going to say other teams feared or other players feared, but they respected their talent level. And like now, like nobody respects these kids' talent level. Like they have to go out and prove it.
Right.
And it's going to be very difficult moving forward. Especially the more games we have like this where it's close, the more teams are going to believe they can beat you.
Yes.
In years past, we were blowing people out. So people weren't confident coming here. They weren't confident playing us anywhere because we were killing everybody. And now, you know, these close games, you know, 9 points, Old Japan, 6 points, Pascack Valley, 2 point overtime loss to East Side. Like now people are starting to say they came back to the pack a little bit. And I think people are a little more confident in playing this.
It's interesting because then they go, you know, that was Pascack Valley. And then Bergenfield, Tom, your team was undefeated going into that game. I know, really looking forward to it. And, you know, TNAC just keeps on keeping on.
You know, we're pretty good on the defensive end. We struggled a little bit in the middle of the third quarter, and it kind of got away from us. But, you know, we had opportunities to get back in the game, but the Washington kid just took over the game. He was very impressive point guard for a freshman. Not only just for a freshman, for any age level, he was super.
Yeah, and another advantage that TNAC has going for it is that the front of its jersey says TNAC. Andy, you're a good guy to ask. You played, you know, last year on the varsity level. Not so much specific players or anything else, but when you know, I don't even know if you did play TNAC, but if you knew you were going to play TNAC with the history and their reputation, you know, how hard is that in the locker room getting up for that game? Obviously, you think you can beat anybody as a player, but, you know, realistically, TNAC has a little bit of an intimidation factor to it.
Yeah, you know, talking about playing TNAC, it was kind of the same deal last year when we knew we were going in to play Hackensack in the county tournament. You know, they had Rashard Figures last year, who obviously everyone knows that. You know, and TNAC's the same type of thing. They had Joel Hernandez and Shakir Lindsey. But right away, when you find out that you're playing TNAC, you instantly think about those two guys and, wow, it's really going to be tough for us to stop them. And, you know, you don't give yourself much of a chance, and you kind of go into the game saying, well, maybe if we can do this really well and we're really hot from three, then maybe we'll have a chance. You know, but when you're going in to play TNAC, you always know you're the heavy underdog.
Yeah, and you got to shoot well. You can't turn the ball over. And then, you know, against those teams, that's a lot easier said than done. You know, it's easy to make a game plan, not easy to follow.
Yeah, and one thing with TNAC, I've talked to a lot of people about them so far, and everyone's talking about the freshman Washington. People are talking about LeBron Green Reels and DeJesus, who played well last year. But not a lot of people are mentioning Corey Brown, who's bounced around the county. He started off at Hackensack, then he went to Garfield, and now he's with TNAC. But he's a great player, and I think he'll be very important to them going forward, and someone a lot more people are going to talk about as the season keeps on.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a name I didn't mention from the Pascack Valley game, but he was huge in that game as well, and he brings some, yeah, he's that classic wing player. He can put the ball on the floor. He can hit a pull-up jump shot. He can hit a standstill jump shot, so... he definitely, yeah, a kid like that coming into bolster TNAC. You're right, that he's living a basketball odyssey. Started out in Hackensack and now finishing his career at TNAC. It's pretty crazy, too. You know, mentioning the name Hackensack, Tom Curry, you have a close association with the head coach at Indian Hills, and Indian Hills actually pulled off a win over Hackensack earlier this week. Your son, Tom Curry Jr., is the head coach up there. He's got a shot at Ramapo on Saturday, probably as people are listening to this, but a win over Hackensack has to be a nice little feather in your son's cap.
Well, it was a real good win at Hackensack, and then he came back and beat Ridgewood last night. So they're 5-0 going into the game on Saturday against Ramapo, 6-0. So that's going to be like Army-Navy up there, probably a packed house. And I know the principal of Indian Hills, Joe Collins, was nice enough to call me today and pay a nice compliment to my son and the kids on the team. But they're all excited about basketball again up there, and that's a good thing. Anytime, you know, the community can get excited and support something, and they're really buying in, that's a good thing. So good for them and good for him, and good for the community of Oakland and Franklin Lakes and Wyckoff. That's a nice rivalry. It's a good rivalry. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm actually going to go to the game tomorrow. I want to see what's going on. Check him out. See how he's doing. See how the young guy's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, out of curiosity. How much does he, hey, Dad, what do you think of this? Is there a lot of that, or are you just there, you know, just like a proud papa watching your son?
He has questions, but you know, he's been coaching for a long time. He started off with me on the JV level at Dwight, and then he went to Park Ridge as the girls coach, where he did a real good job. And, he got the job at Indian Hills. Lorenzo really liked him and, brought him in. And now he's done a good job there. And he runs my stuff and he runs some of his own. And he's, every coach takes on his own personality. And I think that's a good thing. But I think with credit to him, he's got them to buy in and play better defense and do things. I'm not knocking the guy that was there before, but I think getting kids nowadays to buy in and play defense is a tough sell, and I think that's been a big difference in their team. And he's got some real, real nice kids on the team who are really working hard. So that's the key. I mean, if you got kids that are willing to work, you got a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so this is going to be a boys basketball heavy show. We did reach out to a couple of girls coaches, and for various reasons, they weren't able to join us here tonight. So Richie B, you being the authority around here, you've covered some girls basketball this week. What are we missing on the girls' scene that maybe we should be aware of before we bring in our guests tonight?
Well, I had so many boys things, so many boys basketball things to talk about. You caught me off guard here, but
well, you covered IHA against Passaic Tech. IHA is the defending Bergen County champion. They won. They're different. Sam Wilkes is gone now, playing at Villanova. How about an early report on IHA?
IHA, I mean, they just lost to Paris and Eastside by 1 point, and Paris and Eastside is, you know, considered the best team in North Jersey as of this time. IHA is an interesting team because they have, you know, they're not a classic, you know, a classic good girls basketball team is either one or two things. One, they're just way more athletic than you are, or two, they have one stud that they lean on, and if she's hot, she's going to carry you. IHA, I mean, their point guard, Alex Mizrokian, is really, she's a soccer player who's an athlete playing basketball,
yep.
But she's running the point for them, and she, you know, disrupts the opposing team's offense just on athleticism alone. They have a couple girls that can shoot on the outside, Caitlin Roche, Stephanie O'Lear, but it's in the middle where, you know, Lindsay Rogers, who has improved markedly from last year to this year, Katia Oge, who's at Jordan Wilmoth. I mean, they've got three girls, you know, between 5'11 and 6'2 that can not only finish at the rim and defend, but they run the floor like guards. And that poses a huge problem. I mean, the thing I took away from IHA is that they're, even with Wilkes being a 4-year point guard and whatever, they're way better in transition this year than they've been in the past because, you know, if Wilkes got the ball, she could dish it off. But, I mean, more likely, she was taking it all the way to the rack and her teammates would kind of stand and watch.
Right.
And now you got Ms. Ropian going up the court, and she's got two or three options that are 6 foot that can finish. So, I mean, I think IHA is going to be – I think they're going to be a really, really tough out come county tournament time.
Yeah, and we will get into more of the girls' basketball side of it as the season moves on here because it's going to be interesting in Bergen County. You know, Teaneck is back after, you know, a so-so last year, but Kayla Gibbs in the middle. She's the best post player in Bergen County this year with the graduation of, you know, Jackie Reinicke at Northern Highlands. Not that she wasn't in the top handful last year as well, but, you know, I think there's some parity on the girls' basketball side this year that is going to be interesting as the county tournaments draw close.
No doubt about it. I mean, right now you would say off the top of your head that probably, I mean, IHA would be the favorite. But, I mean, after that, I mean, there are a host of other teams that you – I mean, the Final Four is going to be very interesting this year because usually it's kind of a usual suspects kind of thing.
Right.
You know, where you know who three of the teams are and a fourth – whoever the fourth team is going to sneak in. But, I mean, people expect the Northern Highlands to drop off. They're not dropping off. They have a
right.
huge
they
win
won
over Richfield.
They won the – yep, go ahead.
Won the Poly over Richfield Park. That was Richfield Park's only loss. They're going to be a tough out. You know, you go down, there are other teams – I mean, there's just parity all over the place. Demarest, Old Tappan. You know, those are the – Paramus Catholic, who's, you know, always talented, but, you know, lately hasn't been able to get over the hump. Is this the year they do it? I mean, there are so many. Glen Rock is always stingy. You know,
Pascack Valley.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, their coach is a little inexperienced. I don't know how he does in the big game. You know sometimes he doesn't really know his X's and O's. I mean, he's got to get a little seasoning under him. He's only got like 900 wins or so. I mean, you know, call me when you get to about. You know what I mean?
Yes. Right. That's true. Yeah, Louis, classic that you bring that up. Louis's got over 400, and so does Al Roth, and they both live on the same block over there in Ridgewood. So they got 800 wins, living about 100 yards from each other on the same block in a Bergen County town. Yeah, so girls basketball is definitely going to be interesting. But let's switch it back to the boys now, and let's bring in our first guest of the evening. He is Bergen Catholic head coach Billy Armstrong. Coach, thanks for joining us here on Talking Hoops.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, Andy Kovner and I were out to see you on Tuesday, a game against St. Joseph's. And, the first thing that sticks out about the Crusaders this year is you walk into the gym, you see the layup lines, and you got a bunch of big dudes playing basketball in Oradell this year.
we're definitely fortunate to have, three pretty big kids. And we're also fortunate that they're extremely hard workers and everything, too, which is great. So, we've been working, as you saw on Tuesday, really trying to emphasize getting the ball in the post and stuff. And it's not easy because the way the game is played today, everything's kind of dribble drive and shoot three. So, but our team has bought into it pretty good so far.
Yeah, off to a 5-0 start. All right, Andy, this is a big moment for you. I mean, we were there on Tuesday. We went to I threw it to you. I set you up. I put it on a platter for you to ask a question, and you bailed out. So let me give you one of these.
I got it.
All right, let me give you one of these first.
All right, so, Billy, obviously with a lot of good players returning, you got the Fury, you got Gilberto Q, and you got a few key transfers with Uribe, and we haven't seen Salem yet. And starting off with a great start, 5-0, you went down to Florida, won the early season tournament. How do you have your players keeping the mindset of, one game at a time and not letting, the hype that's going around the county right now get to them too much?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy. It's something that myself and our staff, we can kind of continue to talk about all the time. The first thing is I think it's important, not just for basketball players, but for, I guess, maybe just people in general, is to kind of stay humble. And to be perfectly honest with you, last night we played Primus Catholic, and we played very poorly in the first half. I think part of it is because we were kind of thinking about the past, which was us already winning four games. And we talk to our kids all the time how the past doesn't equal the future. We got to respect everybody and make sure we're ready to go. And then the other part is I really try to emphasize doing as much as we can where I don't really believe in, this is a big game or that's a big game. It's more I'm looking for, everyday guys that are doing drills in practice. It's the most important thing that they're going to do. We kind of take that approach, and we just kind of keep talking to them about it and keep reinforcing it. So getting them to stay humble and just being an everyday guy in terms of, we're doing a drill or whatever we're doing in practice, that's the most important thing we're doing. So it's never like turning a switch on or turning a switch off for a big game or not. It's just on all the time. So, and it's obviously a work in progress. I mean, we're not dealing with pros. We're dealing with high school kids and stuff.
Andy. That was for your first question ever asked on a NorthJerseySports.com multimedia presentation. Yeah, Coach Curry. Bergen Catholic, as you know, one of the most tradition-rich programs in Bergen County. Billy, yeah, I think I don't know if you have seen Bergen Catholic yet, but it's a fun team to watch because it's old school. It's, pound the ball inside, and you've seen Bergen Catholic do that on a number of occasions over the last, 30 years or so. Right?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, when Chris Donfield was there, and then Joe Denisio, and now Billy, they've always had some really strong frontline players. Billy, what do you think the difference is this year between your team this year and last year?
To be honest, I think part of it was the commitment the kids had in the summer with our summer workouts that we did, not just our summer league, but, I just kind of believe that and sometimes as coaches in planning and trying to plan for games and things like that, we forget and I guess we forget about the fundamentals. So I kind of believe that when things go wrong, it's not the X's and O's, it's the execution of the fundamentals. So it's something that we started, this past summer, And just really kind of really put an emphasis on the fundamental and the skill development. And the kids bought into it. And I think it's an easy buy-in for the kids because when you work on the skills, it's like an individual thing. Like they like you because they're getting better. And then what I had to do was just kind of really kind of remind myself to kind of stay with that. And coach, as you know, coaching for many years and everything, it's sometimes it's like we're looking at games and then we forget about working on that skills and stuff. So we spend a good portion of our practice, I would say anywhere from a minimum of 20 minutes to 40 minutes, 45 minutes, the first part of our practice, it's all fundamental skill developing and really basic things. I mean, just passing, receiving, we do a lot of footwork things. And I think it's really helped us. It's really helped us, you know, it started this past summer. And now obviously during the season. So I really think that's it. Hopefully we can kind of continue to do it and the kids continue to stay committed with it.
Well,
you know, Billy, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that's great. You know, a guy named Wooden did that every day of his life. So
yeah.
It's a pretty good model to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. He had it maybe a little bit easier. He played and worried about too many games that he had to win. So he kind of likes to focus on it. But I definitely kind of pulled things out of his book in terms of, you know, I've been somewhere once that I guess maybe 40% of his practices were all about the fundamentals and things. So, I think sometimes we think it's our X's and O's, whether it be on the defensive or offensive end, but it's really like the passing, the catching, the receiving, the talking, all those little things that really kind of make the difference. So.
You say passing and catching. I mean, Jeff Jasper, I've been covering him for close to 20 years, and that's what he's all we want to do is be good at passing and catching.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is as simple as that. And funny thing I learned today is that John Wooden actually started his career at Indiana State University, the same place that Larry Bird did.
Right.
Yeah, how about that?
Right.
First place in
absolutely.
Terre Haute, Indiana. Billy, talking to you now twice in the past week, I think, you know, and a couple of different occasions you've mentioned it, so obviously it's a focus for you. But it's, you know, like you said, the game now is about dribble drive and all these other type of things. The strength of your team obviously is those big boys inside, and it's an old school to be as successful as you guys can be this season. You almost have to play that old school game of listen, nobody shoots it until the big boys get a touch.
Yep.
How hard has that been to, you know, because it's not only that these kids are maybe ignoring you or anything else, it's that, you know, if you think they're only 16, 17, 18 years old, that game hasn't even been played since they've been alive.
Right.
So, you know, there haven't been that many dumping into the post type things that they can even look at.
Right.
How hard is it for you to get that message across?
It's definitely not easy. Like I said, we started this past summer, and as a staff, we just had to look at our team and really kind of evaluate, you know, what do we need? What are we missing here? What are our strengths? And that's kind of one of the obvious strengths and everything. So, I think it's like anything. I mean, it's just the repetition and the reinforcement and the positive reinforcement. So it definitely helps that we were able to win a couple games early in the season. I think, you know, we're throwing it inside and we're not as successful and, you know, maybe we're 1-4. It's hard to get the kids to kind of buy in. So, you know, that's kind of been the whole thing. And also I just kind of, we want our post players to finish in time, but I also want the post players to be great passers because I think as we get deeper into the season and as coaches start scouting and they see us play, and they're definitely going to make adjustments like in terms of double teaming and things like that, which we haven't seen yet. So we're going to have to be able to handle that and everything like that. And that's where it becomes our post players need to become great passers. And I believe we have guys that can knock down outside shots. So hopefully we have answers when they do kind of, you know, double team us and everything. But I think being successful and being able to win some games, I don't care if it's, you know, 2014 or you know, 1960, when you're doing that, it's much easier to get a captive audience. It's much easier to get your kids to buy in. So, we'll see if we can keep it going.
Yeah, and the little guys will like it when the big guys are getting double teamed. They realize there's no hand in their face when they're
shooting. Right, absolutely. So,
yeah.
And I think a big part of it too is that we press a lot, and our defense has been pretty aggressive and things. And because of that, we've gotten opportunities in fast break and in transition where our guards get opportunities to, you know, to get shots and make plays and stuff. So there is a balance there, you know, in terms of the post feed, definitely in our half court offense, and then we try to, you know, cause turnovers with our full court defense, which gives our guards opportunities to make plays.
Richie, you got one for the coach?
I do, and it's kind of a two-pronged question. One, you know, you win a Christmas tournament down in Fort Lauderdale. What made you decide to go down there? And talk about, from a confidence standpoint, how big winning that tournament was. Because seeing you in a couple times last year, big games, I mean, you could play with anyone, but it seemed when it got tight and adversity kind of set in, your team got away from what made you successful. Do you feel that do you feel that that tournament and winning that tournament has kind of just been the springboard to your entire season so far?
Yeah, I mean, it was, we really kind of look into the different tournaments that are out there, and it's not like a decision that I kind of make quickly, because there are a lot of great, like, local tournaments that we can be in and everything, so, so it's not something, you know, that we just kind of say, hey, we're just going to go to this tournament, and, you know, there's a lot of planning and thinking that goes involved with it, you know, for our whole program and with our staff and things like that, so, to be honest with you, it's not easy for us to find tournaments kind of outside the area, because New Jersey is one of the few states where you can't play three games in 3 days, and a lot of the tournaments are. So it actually worked out for us with this particular tournament that it was only a two-day tournament with four teams, and you win your championship in the championship, you lose in the consolation game. And it was, you know, South Florida and things like that, so it wasn't like too far of a plane ride and whatever. So, and obviously our main reason to try to, our main reason to do that is to build our team and, the benefit, win, lose, or draw, we go and play in these tournaments. The benefits, like our kids are in a hotel with each other for 4 or 5 days. You know, we got 3 or 4 kids in a hotel room, and they're sharing a room, and they're really in living quarters and stuff. So you really get to kind of know the guys you're playing with and things. And in a school like Bergen Catholic, it's important because, you know, they don't grow up with each other in the same town, and we get kids coming from all over, and everybody's a local star, at least they think or whatever. So the main reason for it is to really try to build our team and the chemistry and things like that. So from that standpoint, it really, really helped us. The championship game we played against Fort Lauderdale High School, you know, it was a tough game for us. They were very good. And I think they were about 10-3 at the time. And that's one of the things too, New Jersey starts so late. So these other teams all play 8, 10, 12 games or whatever. So it was definitely a confidence builder for us. You know, as we came back home and everything. And then the flip side, though, it does make me nervous because sometimes we go away and the kids think they're on vacation and then they come home and they're still on vacation and you wonder, sometimes it might cost you a game or two. So, you know, it didn't this year. But I was definitely happy with it.
Now, one more reason to play basketball instead of wrestling is that the wrestling team at Bergen Catholic went to Minnesota during the coldest day in the history of the United States of America.
Yes.
And you guys were on South.
Absolutely.
So, Fort Lauderdale.
I reached out to Coach Bell and told, you know, wished him good luck as I was, you know, sitting on the beach and stuff.
Right. Good luck with the DI thing. I will,
right.
I know a pina colada, please.
Right.
Coach Curry or Andy, I don't want to cut you guys short here. You got anything else to ask the coach, or can we send him on his way?
Well, I just want to ask him, he's got a big game tomorrow. You're playing Don Bosco tomorrow, right?
Right.
What does that look like? How's that shaping up?
You know, they're very good. I got an opportunity to see him twice and everything. So, they're coached well. They have very talented kids. I mean, everybody knows, obviously, about Paul Jorgensen and how good a player he is. He's not the only kid on that team. I think they got a bunch of kids. Jack Ely does a tremendous job, offensive rebounding and just kind of making a lot of winning plays and stuff. So, it's definitely a major test for us. I'm happy that we have them at home. But at the same time, we've only played 5 games and we have a lot to go here. And I'm hoping that we continue to get better and continue to improve. And really the ultimate goal is to kind of be playing our best basketball come February. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, you're off to a good start. Billy Armstrong, the head coach of the Bergen Catholic Crusaders, thanks for taking the time to join us here on Talking Hoops. Best of luck, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing a lot of you this year.
All right.
Crusaders look like you're in pretty good shape.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, from one of the best teams in Bergen County and Bergen Catholic head coach Billy Armstrong, we move on to a very good team in Passaic County as we welcome in West Milford Highlanders head coach John Fink. Coach, thanks for joining us here on Talking Hoops.
Hey, always, always a fun time with you, Corey, and you know that. It's a pleasure.
You go down in history as one of the most favorite guests in the history of NorthJerseySports.com multimedia presentations, not only because of the great stuff you've given us in the past, and we always appreciate it, but also because you were on the other end of the classic blooper, right, Richie B., in the history?
It's unbelievable.
I have to go dig that up, but John, I think we talked about it last time you were on the show, but it's always worth mentioning again. I went on about a 2.5-minute soliloquy. I thought you were on the other end of the line, and when I got to the end, I said, Coach, and you were gone. You dropped off the line about 5 minutes earlier. So
I was in the car. I was talking to you. You were talking to me. And you were neither one of us could hear a thing.
Well, you know, you got a lot of dead spots up there in West Milford, so I'm going to put the blame on you. But anyway.
Sure, it was me.
Tough one last night, 47-45, two-point loss to Passaic Valley. Very good Passaic Valley team. You guys are a very good team as well. 4-3 after seven games of the season. How does that sit with you as the West Milford head coach?
Well, first of all, you know, last night was torture for me to play a game in the 40s. We usually want to be in the 40s by halftime. And I think if we could play fast and we could play a little bit loose and get up and down the court, we're going to have a very good year. I was hoping to be maybe 5-2, 6-1 at this point. We did not play well over the Christmas break. And we did come out on Tuesday and put up 84 against Lakeland. And we're very disappointed last night in our offensive output. So, needless to say, we did a lot of shooting at practice today.
Well, you guys do a lot of shooting all the time. I mean, that's the style of the offense. You know, you have I wouldn't say you're blessed with an overwhelming inside presence. You have guys who work hard in the interior, but, you know, if you don't shoot it well, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and if you have seen Passaic Valley, I mean, you look at their roster, they literally have seven guys, 6'4" or better.
They look like the Lithuanian national team.
Yes, I mean, they have triplets that are 6'6" or better, and Minnick, you know, shooting the three ball from that 6'5". But you know what? You know, we had the lead going into the fourth quarter, and we gave it away in the fourth quarter, and we had a chance. We it was a crazy ending. 25-second run, we went from down 5 to up 1. We stole the ball 3 times in a row. Layups, all of a sudden we're up 1. Minute comes down, hits a 3. Now we're down again. It was a crazy sequence of action in a game that really had no action at 40 points.
Yeah. Coach Curry, you got one for Coach Fink?
Yeah, John, I'm interested to know how you like the Big North. How do you like playing different teams and really expanding your schedule?
I love the Big North. Anytime I don't have to go to Westside North, Orange High School, and back in my earlier days, Clifford Scott and Essex Catholic, I'll play anybody. You know, I love playing teams that are similar to us. I would love to cross over more with our Bergen County counterparts, such as Old Pan, like we did at Randolph College earlier in the year. I'd love to see teams like Passaic Valley and, you know, on and on, all these teams that we see in the section. I'd love to see us cross over more with them maybe every other year than to always cross over with our Passaic County counterparts, like Passaic County Tech, Eastside, Kennedy. I would like to see a little bit more give and take with the Bergen County schools that we're so similar to. That would be my only, maybe suggestion going down the road that maybe we could do a little more with our Bergen County teams.
Tom, you got any pull? You got any pull in there, Tom? Can you get him some frequent flyer miles too? By the way, if he's going to be driving all the pin.
I understand how when you go from West Milford to North, I'd want to play anybody north of Asbury Heights. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Ed John, the old Skyline division of the Northern Hills Conference, that was crazy back then, too. I have been covering you for a long time. Andy,
yeah.
Andy, here's a big one for you. You got to play against Coach Fink. How about, you know, well, you got a question for him or something to say? You know, I mean, his team does play a unique style of ball.
Well, I mean, the way he was describing it, lets you get up and down, shoot a lot of threes, sounds like the Passaic Hills teams that I've played on the past few years, and it sounds a lot like the team we have this year and what we usually like to do.
Yeah. Hey, Coach Fink, do you remember Andy Kovner? Did he beat you for a late one? No?
Yeah, they always ripped us apart. I don't know. I always tried to schedule them at the end of the year, and that never worked really good for us. they were just so well-drilled and could just shoot the ball and had size and just a really good, you know, it was always a good tune-up for us to go into the state tournament, taking on Hills, and it was always a challenge. I remember them coming in on senior night and just tearing us apart one year, and my kids are like, Coach, This is what you got us on senior night. Because I didn't expect this result.
Richie B, you got one? Go ahead.
I actually do. You know, you don't have much time to turn around from the loss to PV. I mean, here are your next six games. Wayne Hills, who is red hot right now. St. Joe's, who is always a tough out. St. John the Baptist from New York. Know nothing about him, but you scheduled them, so I'm sure they're pretty good. St. Mary's is red hot. Passaic Tech, Kennedy. I mean, this is a huge, huge stretch for your team over the next 2 weeks. What do you feel that you need to do better against these top-caliber teams in order to come out successful?
I'm going to stick with exactly what I said at the beginning of the year, you know, when people said, you know, man, you got a lot of guards and, you know, you can take the ball to the basket. And, of course, everybody knows we shoot the three. But I think it really comes down to, can we rebound? Can we play defense in the paint? And can we get to the foul line? We can't just rely on the three ball. So those three things, when we're successful, those three things get done. And when we're not successful, usually at least two of the three are not getting done. And because we're not a really big team and we don't really have a post presence, we have a junior 6'8 kid who's getting better, and played really well last night against the PV kids. We do have to have a group rebounding effort. It has to be a team effort, and it has to be a situation where we can't rely on a three ball. We got to go to the basket, and that's going to make us successful. And we have to play fast. We have to get out in the full court and play at a pace that teams are not comfortable with. That's what we're looking for, and we're pretty simple when it comes to basketball. That's how we're going to play.
So, like on a night like last night when it was low scoring, what was the factor in it? Was that PV was D'ing you up and not giving you the looks, or you weren't knocking looks down, or you weren't doing the right things? I mean, how did it happen that you got held under 50?
Court. I stopped watching, man. I can't watch that stuff. I can't do it. Tuesday night we had 44 at halftime.
You got Noah Baskett's number? Let me give him a call.
I'm like, guys, you realize that we're not playing at the pace we're supposed to be playing at? And we just could not get the ball where we wanted to get it. And when we did get it where we wanted to get it, good things happened, but we didn't get it there enough, not even close. And we played at their pace until we turned them over 21 times. We just didn't score off the turnovers.
Right.
So, you know, that's really the key. When we're turning teams over, we have to score off of those turnovers because that generates offense. It gets that game into the maybe the low 60s, and it's a blowout.
Right.
If we score off the turnovers. I think we scored off three turnovers last night, and they were all in the last minute.
Yeah, it just shows you what you can do when you do score off and you make that great run at the end of the game. You know, and we'll do as the county tournament creeps closer, as you and I have talked about in years past, and even did, I think, a year or two ago, we'll preview the Passaic County tournament. But give me the long view of it. I mean, obviously, Eastside, you know, anytime a public school team beats St. Anthony in a regular season game, they're obviously the favorite. But you know what? You look around the rest of it. Like, you know, Kennedy has lost twice to Ramapo. I think both you and Passaic Valley are very good teams. Obviously, with what Wayne Hills is doing, they're a very good team. You look at Wayne Valley, Joe Light's not going into the county tournament with a bad team. You know that. I mean, you put Eastside number one, two, three,
absolutely,
four, five, six, seven. Eight, you know, Hawthorne Christian's got some good players.
Christian's undefeated. You know,
yeah, I'm probably missing a couple. So just talk about Passaic County this year.
Well, that's a tough question. It's only because it's so early and it's been such a Passaic County Tech. I mean, a very fast team. You know, it really, I think it's Eastside and everybody else. And all of those teams that you mentioned, plus, you know, you add DePaul and you add in, again, you never want to look past a Joe Lake coach team. You know, even, that team's going to get back. Basically,
yep.
You know they're going to get better. Passaic Valley with their height, you know, us with our speed, you know, maybe we match up pretty good with some of the inner city teams that have a little bit more quickness than some of these other teams maybe can handle. I don't know. it's a really difficult call other than saying that Eastside is by far, right now, the cream of the crop. And yeah, you look at a Hawthorne Christian who has a stud player, and you say, boy, I don't want to play them. You know, so.
Right. First round. Here you go, Hawthorne Christian. Thank you.
8-9, 7-10, what, you know,
yep.
6-11, you know, whatever it is, wherever that, that lower seed is, you really want to go into play Hawthorne Christian? Maybe. I don't know. But it's very early. You know, we're focused in right now on our league, trying to get a leg up on getting, the first time around the league, the division, and being in a position to win your division. That's always our number one priority because, you know, that's what you'll shoot for. You win the conference, then you shoot for the section. And for us, the county has always been a dream. And again, you know, we play hard in the counties, but for us, it's always conference, section, county is our priority at West Milford.
Yeah, I mean, Richie and I did a preview of Passaic Valley early in the season. We were just having a conversation on the sidelines with Rob Corsich, and I think the last team, last time a non-inner city team won the Passaic County tournament, 79, Richie, did he say?
I want to say it was earlier than that. I think like 74 or something like that.
So, yeah, the odds are against you, but it's always fun because, you know, maybe you're not playing for a championship. Listen, anything can happen, and on a year-in, year-out basis, maybe you're not playing for a championship, but the route to get to that, you know, that Final Four and then the finals is fun. I mean, the Passaic County
open.
Tournament.
It's open, yep. Core. It is. You're right. I think it's more open this year for a lot of teams than it's been for a long time. And,
yep.
You know, if you're the 9 seed now, you got to play an extra game. And I don't
right.
know if you've seen the new format, but you're playing another game now. You're playing 16. So,
yep.
You know, you get an extra game out of it, and it's not all of a sudden you know, 8-9 has to play, but, you know, the winner has to play 1. So, you know, so I like it. I like the new format. I think it's interesting. I think we'll have to see how it plays out. And I guess DePaul is now being considered an inner-city team.
It's true. I mean, they've been – yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I guess.
Well, because
you know,
with Patterson Catholic closing, and for people looking to get, well, let's put it kindly, for people looking to get a parochial education, that is the outlet available to them. We won't say anything about, you know, opening up the recruiting because, you know, obviously that doesn't happen in high school sports. But, you know, I guess that is a good point. I just want to open it up. Tom or Andy, I know I've been monopolizing this conversation, but I am a big John Fink fan, and I haven't talked to him in a year, so I'd like to catch up. Do you guys have anything else to add?
Well, John, you know, you brought up Eastside. That's a heck of a win. I think they got 2,000 residual PowerPoints for beating St. Anthony's for that. But, you know, have you seen them play? What do you think of their chances in the state, and what do you think? You made some great – I'm not aware of the format change they made to St. County. What was the format change they made?
They added a play-in round for the bottom seeds. So it would be a chance for, you know, the 14 seed to maybe get a win playing an 11. And then those teams play in and play, you know, the next round. So I think 1, 2, 3, and 4 actually get 2 byes into the quarter.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting format. We're trying to – I think that the Passaic County Coach Association is just trying to create a more, I don't know, attractive situation for the bottom seeds and having to go play. You know, in the past it was always Patterson Catholic, but now it's Eastside and DePaul and Kennedy and last, you know, Passaic. And, you know, so I just think they're trying to be a little softer, and maybe we can get a situation where the lower seeds get a win and they can say, hey, we got a county win out of this. So it works out pretty good. But to answer your question about Eastside, you know, we had Eastside scheduled for January 4th. As I look back on, you know, I really wanted to play them early in the year, you know, get a good test. I think the best thing that ever happened to us right now is that we got that game moved into February. They couldn't play us. I think they were playing in some type of showcase on the 4th. So I have not seen them yet. I have, a couple of referee friends, actually. I know that's hard to believe. have done their games and gave me a little report on how good they were. And again, referees don't really know anything, as we all know. but these guys actually are pretty good basketball guys, so I trust them. I'm pretty sure the East Side for real deal.
Yeah, it is a great point, though, with the play-in round. I think it's a great idea. You know, hey, Hawthorne, send in your admission fee, and you got Kennedy right out of the gate. Good luck. Yeah, so,
every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
You
know, so now Hawthorne might maybe get to Pompton Lakes or vice versa, you know, something like that. It should be a good thing. And it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I always look forward to the Passaic County Tournament. I always look forward to our conversations. John Fink, the head coach of the West Milford Highlanders. We could go on doing this all night, as we also have done in the past on many occasions. But I'll cut it off here because I want to have you back on as the season goes along, and we'll save some of the good stuff for then.
Looking forward to it. I appreciate your time, guys, and you know, Corey, you're one of the true sports fanatics in this area, especially when it comes to high school sports. And I wish more people in Passaic County got a chance to interact with you. But I really appreciate the time. And you know, anytime you want me on the show, I'm there for you.
Absolutely. And I say it every year, but I'm moving more into Passaic County as well. We got to expand the fan base. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to even force Richie Barton to go do it as well. And Andy Kovner, when he's on break, he'll do it too. John, thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon. Well, interesting stuff there with John Fink. And I learned something. Well, in addition to the many things I learned about the West Milford Highlanders, Richie ballgame, I realized, and I now know about myself, I talk a lot.
Yeah, you don't shut up ever. you know, I've been working with you now for, 13 years, and you haven't stopped talking yet. So maybe it's time to shut the trap there, pal.
Andy Kovner, do you second that, or do you think I should maybe even talk more?
You know, the talking is always very interesting and insightful, you know, so I think you should talk more.
You hear that, Richie?
I hear it.
Yeah, good
Loud
stuff.
Well,
this was a great show tonight, and we got there's a lot of interesting storylines around North Jersey basketball right now for a lot of the reasons that we've mentioned tonight. You know, when we were talking to John Fink about the Passaic County tournament, and he feels that it's open from two down. You know, we touched a little bit on the Bergen County side of things, as you know, Teaneck's still the team to beat, but people feel they're closing the gap on them. It's just a lot of good stuff. And Bergenfield, as Tom Curry mentioned earlier, is one of those teams that feels like they can be closing the gap too, and then they get a taste of what it's going to be like against Teaneck. I think all of those teams are going to get better. One thing we know about Bergen County boys basketball is that there are a lot of good coaches around, and teams tend to get better and a lot better as the season goes on, right, Coach Curry?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, from top to bottom, there's a lot of good people coaching basketball and a lot of knowledge, and it's going to be a good season, as it always is, as we get down towards the Jamboree and then the state tournament. It's going to be great.
Yep, it's going to be fun, and we will be there to cover all of it as the season moves on. But for now, Andy Kovner, how did you enjoy your first appearance on Talking Hoops?
It was awesome. Nothing I enjoy more than talking a little hoops and having you guys with me. It was great for the first time. I'd love to do it again.
Well, you will do it again. I know you got to go back to school in a week or so, but I also know that you have some contacts deep inside Bergen County Athletics. So we're going to talk about maybe keeping you involved with some interviews that you can send us in that we can play on the show, A, and B, making appearances as the season goes along. We'll talk about all that stuff and a lot more next week. But for now, that's the end. Season 1, Episode 2, Talking Hoops. Thanks for joining us.
Follow the leader.